Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to another episode of the Take 6 podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Surplus, and we've got another Leafs episode here for you guys today. We're talking about the NHL All-Star Game final selections, and then we're going to point out a couple points of negativity, I guess you could say, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But before we get started, just a reminder to go follow us and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and then go follow us on Twitter at @take_6 and Instagram at @take6podcast. Thank you.
Welcome to the Take 6 Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Hunter Surplus, and today we're talking Leafs with good friend Callum Wise. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. First week of school's done for me. I don't know about you guys, but it was quite pointless, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I had one day of class, so talk about pointless, buddy. I had to go both my classes mandatory today. Absolutely phenomenal. Did nothing. A bunch of syllabi reading. And we've got on the other side of the line, Evan Kielhauer. How are you?
Oh, buddy, I've been better.
Yeah, you sound like you've been better.
I'm sick as a dog right now.
Everybody listening, get a tissue because you'll need it. Need a tissue. So Leafs week here, not necessarily exciting by any stretch of the imagination. They had a fun win last night against New Jersey. We're recording this on Friday, January 11th. Not a whole lot went on, not a whole lot of good games. What we're going to talk about is Morgan Rielly not being an all-star, a couple Leaf struggles. This is going to be a bit of a negative episode, and like there's not really any positive like topics that we're going to be talking about. So if you guys want, you know, positivity from podcasts, you might want to skip this one because this is going to be lacking it. I don't know, maybe these guys will be able to put some positivity into what we're talking about, but I don't know if I'll be able to. So I think we'll start off this one with Morgan Rielly not making it into the quote-unquote last men of the Eastern Conference Atlantic All-Stars. All of us are upset about that. I think it's fairly safe to say. I'm not happy. Jeff Skinner got in over him, which means that the Buffalo Sabres have just as many All-Stars as the Toronto Maple Leafs. Kind of annoying. What do you guys think about this whole thing?
Yeah, man, I agree. It's just frustrating to watch. Like, I'm not going to want to watch it as much if the best guys in the league aren't there, you know? Like, I get that, you know, it's probably better for the smaller markets or, like, you know, teams like Buffalo to have guys out there. Like, I understand why they do it. But, like, oh, my gosh. Like, it's so rattling. Just make it the best guys, you know. Rielly's having a career season. He's doing ridiculous things. And I don't know. I just think it's such a cuck not to have him in.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset about this, if you can hear by my tone there, but Morgan Rielly, so I'll name the other defensemen that are coming out of the Eastern Conference, then I'll kind of make my argument here. There's John Carlson, Thomas Chabot, Chris Letang, Keith Yandel, and Seth Jones. And if you look at the raw data, which is just kind of like points, goals, assists, Morgan Rielly is leading in every single category. Plus minus, he's leading. He's only taken four penalty minutes. The rest of these guys are, you know, 10, 12, 30 for Chris Letang, 20 for Chabot, and both Keith Yandel. This guy has been an all-around stud this year. He's going to win the Norris Trophy, I think, and so did the NHL.com writers. But I think what the NHL should do is go back to their whole East versus West instead of Atlantic versus Metropolitan versus Pacific, all this kind of stuff. The format is a lot more fun. I'm not gonna lie. The 3-on-3 tournament's a lot more fun, but it's not fair because you're seeing this with Marner as well. You're not seeing the best guys in the All-Star game. Rielly has more points than every single defenseman in the NHL. and he's not in the All-Star game. A lot of the times, All-Star games, you know, including basketball, including baseball, are about the numbers, not just about how well a guy's playing. And even if it was about how well a guy's playing, if you look at, you know, the advanced stats like the Corsi and the Fenwick and all that kind of stuff, Morgan Riley is still one of the top defensemen in the league, and everybody's recognizing it. It's not just Toronto fans who are recognizing it. And speaking about Toronto fans, I think we suck. How do we not vote this guy in? We've got the biggest fan base in the entire NHL, and we didn't vote, you know, a top three player on our team in. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I'm so upset.
Well put. Yeah, no, it's honestly, it is rattling, because, like, who wants to watch Jeff Skinner in this 3-on-3 tournament over Mitch Marner? Like, what? Get out of here. Just doesn't make sense.
Realistically, the Leafs could have 5 All-Stars in this game. Realistically, yeah. if Anderson wasn't injured, he'd probably be in this game. Morgan Riley should be the number one defenseman on this team, and Mitch Marner should be in there as well. Then Austin Matthews and John Tavares, I mean, they're already in there, so I don't need to make an argument for them, but this is embarrassing. Mitch Marner has as many assists as, like, 4 or 5 players that are on this All-Star team. As many, like, he has as many assists as they have points. Come on, how is this guy not even on the last men ballot? I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. Might as well throw Nylander in there. Come on.
Hold your horses, pal.
Yeah, so I think, you know, just getting that off the chest right off the top is a good thing. I don't have anything else to say about it, or else I'm going to start screaming and throw my mic out the window, which might be better than me just talking. So if you guys want to keep doing that, then that'll be all right with me.
let's move on.
So another thing that is not necessarily a positive note for the Toronto Maple Leafs has been their power play as of late. They still sit 8th in the league in power play percentage, which, you know, that's not horrible at all. Tampa Bay sits atop the league with 30%.
Wow.
Percentage on the power play, which is absurd. 45 of 150 attempts. And the Leafs sit at 8th with 23% on 26 of 113 opportunities. So the Leafs have the least amount of power play opportunities in the league, which results in them having, like, the 5th least number of penalty minutes against per game. And I don't know if this is a ref thing or if it's the way that teams are playing the Leafs now, but that's kind of absurd to me, thinking about how skilled these guys are and how fast these guys are and how good with the puck these guys are, because usually when you see teams like that, those are the teams that draw the most penalties. Look at Tampa Bay, right? Tampa Bay has almost, you know, 5 minutes more of penalty minutes, like, time on the power play than the Leafs do. And the reason for that being that they're so skilled, they're so fast, they're all pretty much dangerous from anywhere on the ice. So teams have to hook them, they have to slash them, they have to hold them against the boards, they have to do whatever it takes to get them off the puck. And the Leafs just aren't getting, either they're not getting those calls or the teams are playing them differently. And I'm not sure what it is quite yet, because, you know, not every camera angle shows every little slash or every little hook or all that kind of stuff. But the biggest thing was how excited people were for the power play. And 8th in the league isn't horrible, but everyone's saying that it's a bit of a disappointment because of, you know, how big that stacked power play line is supposed to be. So what are your guys' interpretations on their power play? Like, what's going on with them?
Well, for me right now, like, it's been pretty sloppy the past month or so. But right now, like, I'm not going to jump the gun on anything. I'm going to be patient. And I think in January, it's, you know, you got that mid-season blues. League kind of starts taking a toll on you. Almost feels like, you know, the games aren't as important because you're, you know, 40 some odd games into it. I think they're just kind of slowing down, and when they really need to start winning games again and turning it up, that the boys are gonna start buzzing again.
I think with any sport, people have their their bad times in leagues, like Golden State at the beginning of the season was, I mean, to be fair, they didn't have like four of their players, but they kind of sucked for a little bit. The Raptors had a pretty bad little spurt over like five games or something, like lost three or four of them. And I mean, now they're back at it. I think every team has like just some bad times and they have to just power through it. They can't get like defeated by the fact that they have like they're doing really bad. They just gotta just work harder, I guess.
This is the optimism that I've been looking for here, boys. Everybody that I have listened to, that I've read, that I've looked at, whatever it is that I've talked to, they're all saying, oh, they need to make all these stupendous changes. You got to take blank off the power play. You got to take X off the power play. This guy has to, you know, do different stuff. And just like what you guys were saying, it's a slump. That's all it is. The best hitters in baseball go through slumps. The best quarterbacks in football go through slumps. The best shooters in basketball go through slumps. This is just a team thing. They're a little bit stagnant is what I've noticed. I mean, it kind of looks like they're trying to do that same play where Marner's on his wing, and he tries to make that backdoor pass, trying to force the puck in to like into through the crease to get to Tavares or to Kadri, just to tip it in. And I think that's kind of, you know, it worked at the beginning, but it's getting very predictable right now, which is unfortunate because of the powerhouse that is the Toronto Maple Leafs power play when it's hot. In the first, you know, month or so of the season, just over a month, they're at 28% on the power play. So this is when you just threw a big name into that power play who hasn't been playing with this team for the past, I mean, his whole career. And you've got Marner, Kadri, and Matthews in there. And they're able to do that from October to the end of November. So the beginning of the season to the end of November. And then since the start of December, they're at 13.6%. And that's up until before yesterday's game. So, I mean, that's a little bit long for a slump, if you ask me. They did make some changes, which, you know, took Matthews off the first power play, threw him back there with Nylander, threw Kapanen up on the first power play, which might help a little bit, but even then, I don't know what exactly that's going to do for the team in terms of puck movement, which is, I think, what they need to do better, and kind of instead of just standing in the same places the whole time, they should probably move a little bit more. Like Marner is stuck on the top of that right circle for the entire power play, and as we've seen, he's way better when he's moving, when he's opening up lanes for not only himself but for everybody else. And Riley's just on the top. He's kind of playing the almost facilitator right on top of the blue line, just like the umbrella format. Then Matthews, when he was on the line, was just sitting around the same spot as Marner, just on the other side. Then you got Tavares and Kadri in front. I don't know if it's personnel. The Leafs power play was awesome last year with James Van Riemsdyk just kind of going in front of the net. And I don't know if this new change to the power play lines are going to make any difference. What do you guys think?
I really do agree with like pretty much everything you're saying there. I think when you have that much talent on one like power play line, you expect to see a little bit more creativity, and it has become a little stagnant. And you are watching, yeah, them trying to force the same two plays, three plays over and over again. And when you have a top power play in the league, like, teams are going to study it. Like, they're gonna need to study it. And, oh, sorry, it's brutal and it's challenging to talk right now. But, yeah, you need to see more creativity on the ice. Like, you have so much talent on that line. Hopefully, yeah, they shake things up a little bit. But, honestly, overall, I'm still just not too worried.
Yeah, one thing that I would like to see them do more is if they were to keep that big power play line out there, which I think it's kind of a good switch that they did make, but if they were to keep that big power play line out there, is instead of rushing everything and trying to get so many pucks in at the net as possible with that pass to Marner, to the crease, all that kind of stuff, I think you just kind of let Riley take a few shots from the point, see if you can get it through traffic. You make a couple nice passes, see if Matthews can get open, see if Tavares can get open, maybe not backdoor. You know, maybe you find him in the slot. And the team is such good passing-wise, especially if you have Marner, Tavares, and Matthews, and Riley, for that matter, all on the same line. It's a dangerous thing if you're looking at it on the defensive perspective. But seeing as they're trying to get two more even power play lines, which is kind of smart, I think that now we should be seeing them kind of go in and take 40 seconds, and if they don't get anything from that, from the first power play unit, get out there and throw in the second power play unit. And if after 40 seconds they don't do anything either, throw out the first power play unit after the next whistle or whatever it might be. Just so, A, they're not rushed, and B, each line is... because each line, realistically, is not going to do the same thing as the next. So you're switching it up. If you're doing the same play 3 or 4 times per power play and you have the same unit out there, teams are going to know by that second time, all right, look, Marner's going to make that pass. We're just going to block it. Or the goalie's going to cheat a little bit, and Marner isn't necessarily that threat to shoot like a Kapanen or like a Matthews or even a Nylander, who, I mean, hasn't been shooting well at all. But I think once you figure it out and once they've got the power play lines that they really want and they don't get as predictable like they have been, I think they're going to get right back up there. And even then, they're still only, you know, 23%, which, and when I say only, I mean, like, that's a good thing because they're 8th in the league. Not many teams can go on a slump like this and still be 8th in the league in power play percentage. So I think they're in a decent spot.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I feel like you don't have to change much, but maybe just a little bit here and there. Just shake it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
a little change never hurt anybody.
Exactly. As long as you can adapt to situations and figure out what is what's working for you and what's not, I think. And I think Babcock's smart enough to realize that. And it's, you know, I don't fault him for letting this line go as stagnant as they were for as long as he did, because that's star power on that line. Usually when you've got a top-loaded power play, you look at Washington, you look at Pittsburgh, these guys have over and over again had some of the best power plays over the past few years, right? Like, Washington's always been good. Boston's always been good. You look at Colorado this year, they're really good because of that front-loaded power play that they have. And I think that's the whole thing that you got to look at, is we're doing the same stuff that everyone else is doing, and it just isn't working for whatever it's been, a month and a half almost. So I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. We'll look at another struggling part of the Leafs game right now, and that is William Nylander. Willie has not lived up to his expectations after asking for, how much did he ask for? $8 million? Yeah, that's not about right for him. William Nylander, do you guys know how many points this guy has in his 15 games so far this year?
Tell me, pal. Tell me.
3. 3 points.
What a joke.
Yeah, in 15 games, he's got 3 points. it's not very impressive. But what I am going to do is I'm going to give a little bit of the advanced statistics here, which are, you know, the possession metrics, basically.
Getting
analytical on us. Everything is a game of analytics, I guess. And so right now, in terms of possession, his Corsi numbers, Corsi 4 percentage at even strength, which is basically how long, you know, how often the team has possession when he's on the ice, is 55.9%. So that's really good, right? The team is controlling the puck more often when he's on the ice, which is a positive, but I don't think that he's necessarily the reason for it. And you can see that because he's not doing anything on the ice. Like, there's nothing really spectacular that he's doing on the ice out there. And there was one play that I saw yesterday in the New Jersey Devils game, and it was the first time since he's been back where I've been like, oh, wow, that was, you know, vintage Willie. You know, they always say vintage D Rose, whatever. It was vintage Willie. That's what it was. He made a nice pass. It was pretty much just a drop pass. And that's the stuff that excites me about Willie now, which is, I think that says something about how he's been playing. And then if you look at his point share, so his offensive point share is minus 0.2, which is absolutely horrible for a guy of that caliber, or of that what we think is his caliber. That's not good. When you're one of the best, you know, players on the ice, well, or what you
think. When you think you are.
Yeah, when you think you are, it's not fun. It's not fun at all. And his, like, I don't know if it's just me, but he doesn't look as fast out there as I was hoping. When he's playing these faster guys, he's not looking as fast. And I think that comes into play with his penalty minutes as well. He's got 12 penalty minutes, which, you know, is 6 penalties. And they've all kind of been stick infractions, right? The trips, the hooking, the slashing.
Lazy man penalties.
The lazy man penalties. And you heard it with Babcock saying earlier this week that he doesn't look like he's given it his all, which coincides exactly with his penalty minutes, how many penalties he has. And last, so to put that in perspective, last year he had 10 penalty minutes. When everyone said, you know, I this guy, whether it's an effort thing, a confidence thing, or whatever it is, it's not looking good. What have you seen from this guy?
Well, my problem with Nylander is that, like, since he's been signed and he got paid, like, I haven't even really been thinking of him. And, like, that's a problem, because last year he would stand out and you're watching the Leafs games and you're like, holy shit, Nylander's good. Like, but no, it literally just isn't happening this game. Like, I'm not noticing him on the ice. Like, I'm forgetting about him on the ice. And it's, you know, I'm watching Marner, I'm watching Tavares, I'm watching Matthews, Morgs. Even Gardner's having a good year, and, like, I don't know, he's not having that impact that, you know, $6.9 million should get you.
Yeah, and with his contract, I am, I think it's reasonable to be upset with what he's been doing. And if you look at other guys around the league who are making less than him, making around the same amount as him, you know, guys like Pasternak, Dylan Larkin, they are absolutely dominating in terms of numbers what this guy's doing. And, I mean, he hasn't played the full season. He hasn't gotten into the rhythm, I don't think, at least. I hope he hasn't. Does he compare to those guys right now? Or are you just waiting for him to, you know, step on the gas and get better?
No, I think he's way overpaid, man. When you put into perspective that Pasternak's making, like, it's 6.5 or something like that, and then McKinnon's making 6.3, like, dude, if these guys are top players in the league and they're taking pay cuts, making $6 million and change, like, if you're this whole Nylander contract negotiations, like, triggers me. I think, like, comparatively to the other guys making similar contracts, no, he is not pulling his weight. He's still movable, though. Like, it's not an absurd contract. We can still move him. I wouldn't even think about moving him at all this year. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a weird funk he's found himself in.
And it's hard. What the overall contract was, what, something like 64 million or something?
I thought it was somewhere around 45.
Or 40, sorry, I don't know why I'm thinking 45. I'm thinking 46 million. I got the numbers backwards there. But it's around 46 million. And even if you, you know, cause, and that's a big contract in the NHL. Like, that's a big contract. And so I'm going to switch sports here really quickly. And if you look at those type of contracts for players in the NBA, how badly do they normally go? You look at an Otto Porter Jr., right? How badly is that contract now? And obviously this is a bigger scale, but you look at John Wall, who's older and, you know, not as talented as a Nylander is, but you see these big, massive contracts and how they hurt a team and how they enable, or not enable, but disable a team from even attempting to attract free agents, which the Leafs have already done beforehand, so they're kind of lucky. But if Matthews asks for 13, 14 million, you're giving it to him. If Marner asks for 10, 11 million, guess what? You're giving it to him. So, and with an $80 million salary cap, that's not looking too healthy for this team when Nylander is making as much as he is and producing only, you know, 3 points every 15 games. Is this going to keep up? I doubt it. I doubt it, but you've seen guys who are making a lot of money not perform well.
Yeah, man. I still think Nylander, he's like, his ceiling's so high. This guy, he's gonna battle out of it. He's gonna shoot his way out of it. I hope.
Even then, he's taken less than 2 shots a game. So you shoot your way out, like, that's not shooting your way out a whole lot there. If you're,
especially when he's, you know, not getting the ice time that he wants, that first line ice time.
Well, I wouldn't be giving it to him. He's averaging, you know, 15 minutes a game right now, which is it's down a minute and a half almost from last season. And I don't know if that's going to impact him confidence wise, but it's not looking good from now. And I hope he can, you know, put up the numbers that we want to see him do. And hopefully he'll come around to what he is in the playoffs, because right now, if he's not here, I think we're going to have a lot of trouble in a lot of different playoff series if he keeps playing like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patience is key.
I think the whole thing with Nylander is that, like, he showed so much potential that Dubas wanted to take a shot on him, but, like, it took so goddamn long that just so much shit happened in between. Like, him saying he wanted to re-sign Nylander and then him wanting $8 million and then obviously not giving him that amount because not many players are worth that much. Just, like, you have to be extremely exceptional. And I think he said you have the potential, but you're not there yet. So then it just turned into this whole war. And that, I think, yeah, I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, the biggest thing, especially in a market like Toronto, you have so much pressure and such high expectations, especially when the team is doing so well, especially when the team was doing so well without you, to even put that further. But this guy has so much riding on his shoulders. He sat out for 30 games, just about, and everyone expected him to come back and start lighting it up. But realistically, that's not going to happen. Realistically, he hasn't been practicing, or he hadn't been practicing with the team, and he'd been playing against guys who aren't in the NHL. The NHL is the best league in the entire world, and when you're playing against guys who aren't up to that caliber, I remember this from, you know, when I was playing hockey or baseball or any of the sports that I played, when you play with guys who aren't as good as you and you stand out, you're going to drop down to their level. And that's just natural. And I think that shows the competitive edge that he has, because it's that's a bad thing. Like, it's not necessarily there, because I bet you if you put Sidney Crosby against guys in the Swiss or the Swedish league, he's scoring 15 goals a game. But you're putting Nylander out there to practice with these guys, and he comes back looking weak. It's not a good sign seeing him come from there, where evidently he wasn't, I don't even want to say evidently he wasn't working as hard, because I haven't seen the tape, but it seems like he wasn't working as hard because none of his stuff has come back. It's not like he sat out this year with an injury and wasn't able to practice his stick handling or wasn't able to practice his shot or his skating or anything like that, but none of it's there right now. And there's no excuse. Like, there's literally no excuses for him to not have been practicing. Yeah, he's in Sweden. Yeah, he's at home. But if you're really serious about making $8 million, you're out there practicing every day. You're out there practicing harder than anybody else on the ice. in terms of the guys that he was competing against, and that hasn't translated. If he was, then I'm wrong, and it hasn't translated. That's all. But like the condition, everyone's saying, "Oh, the conditioning's not there." Well, why not? You just got an extra long off season. Why the hell is your conditioning not there? Where are the suicides that you've been doing? Where's everything else? Right? Like a practice is a practice, no matter where you are. A practice is a practice, whether you're wearing a Leafs jersey or a Bundesliga, you know, La Liga jersey, whatever it is. This guy could be wearing a soccer jersey for all I care. He should be practicing as hard as possible. That's where it comes into me. Like that's the part that upsets me the most. It's like, evidently you're saying you want this $8 million, but you're practicing like a $4 million guy. So I guess we got him for the middle, the middle ground there, but that's not going to work on a team this good.
For sure. Yeah.
So then I guess the biggest game of the week, in you know, the week of, I don't know, whatever, January 11th, today's January 11th, this week, the biggest game was against the Preds. And a lot of people coming into this, I saw a lot of tweets, a lot of Twitters, I was going to say. A lot of,
you old man.
Yeah, I know. A lot of tweeters. So a lot of tweets on Twitter I saw about this game were kind of like, this could be a finals matchup with the history that Tampa Bay has, having a really good regular season and then a pretty poor performance in the playoffs. The Leafs have an opening to get into the finals, and nobody would be surprised. And the same goes for the Preds. The Preds, you know, are going to be playing a team in Winnipeg probably who hasn't shown that they're as fantastic in the playoffs as they are the regular season. And there's not a whole lot going for the Western Conference outside of those two teams. So this could very well be a Stanley Cup matchup. And that's kind of worrisome to me. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but so I was at that game. I don't know if you guys watched it, but it was pretty horrible. It was pretty horrible.
I watched a bit.
Yeah, so they only had 18 shots all game. That's not in one period. That's not in, you know, the first two periods. That's the entire game. They had 18 shots. And they didn't have their great, you know, they didn't have the best goalie in net for them, which I guess is understandable. But they still got whooped. They got beat 4-0. And outside of maybe, you know, the first 5-6 minutes and another couple minutes out there in the second, they didn't look like they wanted to win at all, like not even in the slightest bit. And I don't know, man. I don't think they match up in terms of, like, they don't have a good enough defense to match up against teams who have the best defense in the league. Like Nashville, I think, undoubtedly has the best defense in the league. Like, their core is Roman Josi, Sissons, PK Subban, and those are just guys who can do just about anything on the defensive end. And we don't have that. And when our firepower, like Matthews and Kapanen and Marner and Nylander and Riley and Tavares can't get going against a defense like that, which they, you know, usually won't be able to do because the defense is so good, we don't have a good enough defense to stop what a team like that can do. Even though they don't necessarily have the best offensive players, they're still not really gonna be able to stop these guys. Because even though you got Riley, who's really good, Gardner, who's been solid this year, you still have to battle with Travis Dermott, Oshiganov, Zaitsev, and Hainsey. Sorry, for some reason I was forgetting his name. Oh, that's right, because he sucks. He's irrelevant. So, and this is the thing. Like, they are – I've been so negative throughout this entire thing, but this is another reason to be, you know, kind of worried about this team in terms of a matchup like that, because when their offense isn't going – they don't have a defense to stop anything. I don't know about you guys, but that's what that showed me, really. which is kind of not a good sign.
Yeah, man. Like, overall, it looked like a pretty poor team effort, considering you got, what's his name, Michael Hutchinson in that. Like throw the guy a bone. How many games has he started this year? You're going up against a top Western Conference team, and you just completely throw Hutchinson under the bus like that and just get steamrolled. Like, where's the fight? Battle for this guy. Like, yeah, it was a bad game, and then Matthew's goal getting called offside, all that BS. Frustrating to watch.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I am not a fan of in terms of, like you said about Hutchinson, is that they have really had no fight when he's in net, right? Like, when they played, the past five games they played with him in net, they are 3-2. Not horrible, not fantastic, but they've given up in against the Rangers, 19 shots against him. He gets pulled, right? In the first, basically, two periods. Gets pulled after four goals. And then against Minnesota, 34 shots. He lets in another four goals. He gets, you know, he doesn't get pulled, but he plays the whole game. And then against Vancouver, one of the worst teams in the league, decent offense, they give up 28 shots. Against Nashville, 32 shots. Against New Jersey last night, 29 shots. This guy hasn't played a lick of NHL games this year. He just hasn't. Why did they think that it's okay to just kind of shit the bed on this guy defensively and just give up? They're averaging pretty much 31 shots a game against when he's in net. And you'd think, if you want to show a little bit of respect to this guy who's come in, he's the backup to the backup. Come on. Come on. Show a little love to this guy is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's tough to watch when they go playing like that. It's tough to watch.
And thankfully, it's not often, but I think there is a little bit cause for concern when you know that this is one of your two meetings against Nashville in the season and the hype that was built up around it. And you have all your guys healthy, basically. The only guy who's missing is Tyler Ennis and, well, I mean, Frederik Andersen as well, who's a big name, but we already mentioned that. And you come out flat. You play weak defense against a really, you know, a really not that fantastic offensive team, and you just get shut down. Now, a lot of teams get shut down by the Predators, but not teams with this caliber of offense is what I'm saying. And when they do get shut down, which is going to happen every now and then, some days you're on, some days you're off, and that, I understand that. But, you know, when you hit the post one time and you get a goal called off, you should probably be able to at least bury one because you have the offensive presence, but they couldn't, and then they can't stop anything on the other end. And that has stuff to do with the goalie. I mean, Frederik Andersen probably could have made a couple of the saves that went in, but I think you just got to, you know, you got to be able to play the way you do every night. I guess against a team that's this good, you should be able to show up every now and then. And then they play tomorrow night against Boston, and I think we'll probably talk a little bit more about that next week. But once again, it's probably a playoff preview for these guys in the first or second round, depending how they match up in the standings and stuff. So I'm excited for that game. Anyways, guys, I think this will probably
just to make it clear.
Jesus Christ! We're still this guy comes fans out of nowhere.
I just need to say this before we stop. We're still Leaf fans. For anyone who's wondering, we hate the Leafs or anything.
Yeah. No.
Still fans.
Just a whole lot of negativity was brought out of specifically
it's
just,
me. They suck, you know.
They don't suck. They far from suck. They just have been playing not fantastic as of late, and some of that has to do with their power play, some of it has to do with Nylander, some of it has to do with an injured goaltender. So that's just the way it is. There's all, everyone, like we've said, everyone slumps a little bit. The Raptors had a bit of a slump. The Warriors slump a little bit. I sure as hell hope Tampa Bay slumps at some point this season. It's not looking like it, but I hope they do. But yeah, I'm sure they'll come back hotter than ever, hopefully, you know, before the All-Star break and then again afterwards. So, boys, it was fantastic talking to you. We went way longer than expected. Jesus. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoy your weekend, and I think we'll be talking again tomorrow, talking Raps tomorrow. So, have a good one.